Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That time again, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night. And you know this is the place to be. This is the FPSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, I give you information and conversation in the crazy, wacky, and drama-filled world of fantasy sports and politics. I'm going to be talking about quite a few things tonight, a little college football, quite a bit of the NFL, including tonight's game, which is going to be coming up in about a half hour on the NFL Network. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is a place to be if you want to talk to me. I'm not sure exactly if my co-hosts are going to be around. I am flying solo for now, but that's cool. Not the first or last time. So without further ado, why don't we get right into – oh, I meant to tell you. There's also a chat room available to you. If you'd rather not try to converse with me, you listen on it, listen on whatever I have to say, you want to make a comment, a question, or make a statement in the chat room, it's there for you. Convenience is open season. You can say and do whatever you want in that chat room. But just understand, you reap what you sow. Well, so if you put something in there that I'm not too kosher with, I can guarantee I'm going to respond back to you in kind. Trust me. Just trust me. Anyway, like I said, we got a subject-filled show tonight. And I'm going to start it off, like I said, in college football. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this guy and his team, he's a freshman from Florida State, quarterback. And this is, I mean, I don't know if this is just typical of the media or whoever trying to drag a up-and-coming star or star of college football. But apparently this supposedly was squashed about a year ago with no tangible evidence of any kind and no culpability to Jameis Winston, the star quarterback from Florida State, who happens to be the if I'm not mistaken, happens to be the number two ranked college team in all the nation behind, you know it, Alabama. But Florida State is the consensus BCS and AP top two rated team in the nation on both polls, okay? And why this comes up now, you know, like I said, people, I'm not saying there's no validity to it, but I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just saying it's awful funny. And supposedly this happened in December of 2012 when he was being investigated, and supposedly back then there was no clear evidence, or there was no evidence to link him to what took place. But now, out of the clear blue sky, almost a year later, this rises up again. Now, his lawyers have provided police with two witnesses with affidavits earlier this week, and said at least one of those witnesses has already been interviewed by police, and another is in the process of being interviewed. And they corroborate his account of the event that he had nothing to do with. So back in February 2013, he was told by the authorities that the case was closed and relayed that information to Winston's family in Florida State. No charges were filed. As Jansen said Thursday, no investigation had occurred since then until this week. Why? I don't know. All of a sudden, 8 or 9 months later, this rises up again. And on Wednesday, for whatever reason, the Tallahassee police turned over the case to the state attorney, who asked police to further investigate the allegations. Now, I don't understand. I don't know why this comes up. The chief assistant state attorney said today she could not speak to why there was a delay in prosecutors receiving the case. She also said there is no timeline for a decision on how to proceed with the case, though no decision is expected within the next few days. Typically, a delay can result from a lack of evidence in a case or a lack of cooperation from the accuser. Now, Florida State released a statement Wednesday saying that Winston's status with the team has not changed, and he's expected to start Saturday against Syracuse. They practiced on Thursday, and the coach of Florida State said the quarterback took every snap, every rep, practiced extremely well this week. He also said he's been great. He went out and practiced well, played well, eliminated, as far as I can understand, the distractions and practiced well. Now, he had no further comment when asked about why he thought the case was being brought up again or how long Florida State has known about the incident. He did say players have rallied around each other this week. We've had a lot of adversity. This is a quote for him. There's a lot more behind the scenes than goes on at football practice. We dealt with different issues that go on during the season. Our guys have dealt with adversity and will handle it. Florida State, quite naturally, whoever follows college football, being that they're not they're rated number two, they're 9-0 and second in the BCS standings and also in the AP 25. For those who look at both of the standings, and this quarterback Winston has been spectacular in his first college season. Passed for so far over 2,600 yards and 26 touchdowns. I am now joined by my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black. Welcome, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey guys, how's it going?
So Black, well, as you guys heard, I was talking in a short time here since we've been on about the quarterback from Florida State, Jameis Winston, whose this assault case back from last year, which is supposedly have been closed, has been reopened and passed off to the state attorney general. State prosecutor for whatever reason. I don't know if anybody can shed some more light on it. I'm going to go to Black.
Okay.
Because Black does follow college football heavily, and then I'll go to Jeff. Talk to me, Black.
Who first reported this? ESPN?
That's the report I got was from ESPN.com.
Yeah, this is a classic case of building the guy up just to break him down, man. This case is from 2012. We're a month away from 2014. This is foolish. Right when Florida State was getting hot and things were going well, somebody thought it was a monkey wrench for the game. I understand that the prosecutors are bringing charges and still being investigated. But this is just foolishness by ESPN.
Okay. Jeff.
You know, I don't know if you mentioned this, but if you read into the details of this, I mean, I really don't like this story, and Jameis is innocent until proven guilty, of course. And it, one of the details is, I think the suspect was between 5'9 and 5'11. Well, that's not Jameis. I mean, he's what, 6'4"? He's a big kid. The timing is odd. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, one of the great things about college football, I watch college football, not as much as black, but, you know, I do like to watch some college, is the rivalries. And sometimes it brings out the ugliness in somebody who could dig up something like this, which, and then, you know, try to make a star player and a whole program look bad. I mean, you know, if the guy did something bad, then, you know, we shouldn't be on the team. But I don't think that's the case. And it's got to be horrible to have your name slung through the mud and being accused of something so bad.
Black, you wanted to say something?
Oh, no. I was bagging up Joker's point. He said it was like a 5'9 or something with spray hair. Jameis Winston looks nothing like that.
Yeah, that's true. One of the things I had said before you guys jumped on, one of the things I said, is this a case of because this guy is a rising star and because he's the number one rated school in the country that somebody's is building a story out here to drag him down I don't know about making a name for themselves, but making something out of nothing. Let me put it that way. Now, I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but it was investigated once, and the case got closed for some reason, whatever godly reason, it was pushed to state prosecutors. Why? Who prompted that? I have no idea why they were prompt. This case, once it was closed by, I guess, the local police, that it would get pushed to the state prosecutor. And I'm just speculating here, there was some pressure, being that he was a big-time player, and I'm not saying this, but you guys know where I'm going with this. He's a big-time player, and he was kind of squashed this in order for him to be able to play, and maybe for whatever reason the victim got compensated or pushed to the side or whatever in some way I guess not prevent this story from coming out, but to kind of squash this and say that nothing happened or whatever. Just so the case could get closed. I don't know. But it's awful funny. It's crazy for all of a sudden, almost a year later, to this case gets reopened again. It doesn't make any sense to me. No sense. And reopened to a higher level. That makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. Unless somebody just trying to make a story out of a non-story. Your thoughts on that, Jeff? I don't understand. I'm trying to get.
It's possible. You know, I mean, but like I said, I hope it's totally untrue, and that's you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But there, mm-hmm. you know, there is that possibility, and there's also the possibility that. You know, they had the wrong guy, and mm-hmm. there's no reason to drag an innocent young man's name through the mud. That's what I'm feeling right now.
All right. I don't think Black has any more to say on the subject. Am I right, Black?
5'9", straight head. 5'9", with straight head. You tell me.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like famous Jameis to me, right off the bat, you know? That's
what
swayed me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Anyway, let's move on to, let's stay in the same state. We're going to stay in the same state, but we're going to push it up a level. We're not going to talk about college football. We're going to talk about the NFL, and we're going to stay in the same state. One of the most favorite sons of the NFL, Richie Incognito, and his infamous Texas and his infamous interview with Jay Glazer, has filed a non-football injury grievance against the club, challenging his status as indefinitely suspended for conduct detrimental to the team, according to sources. Under Article 42 of the Collective Bargaining Agreement, the maximum a player can be suspended by a team for detrimental conduct is 4 weeks plus an additional game check. In this case, that would amount to almost $1.3 million. The Dolphins have not defined the length of the suspension, which was announced in the late evening of November 3rd, following allegations of harassment and misconduct toward teammate Jonathan Martin. Under the labor agreement, all non-football injury grievances must be heard by a neutral arbitrator. Incognito has requested an expedited hearing, I'm also saying this, Incognito deflected blame for many of his harsh actions against Martin during his interview with, Jay Glazer on Fox Sports on Sunday. He also accused Martin of using equally crass language, claiming that was the nature of the relationship. He denied bullying in Martin, and he claimed to be Martin's most supportive teammate. He was genuinely surprised Martin left the team, and it became a national media firestorm. He also said, and this is a quote, you can ask anybody in the Miami Dolphins locker room who had John Martin's back in the absolute most, and they will undoubtedly tell you it was me. John never showed signs that the football was getting to him or the locker room was getting to him. You guys know that Martin, being the case, left on October 28th following an incident, and I had mentioned it on the show, in the team's locker lunchroom. However, Incognito said Sunday that he and Martin exchanged text messages 4 days later. And Incognito's phone showed 1,142 text messages between the two players over the past year. Well, let me put it this way. He's saying that for the most part, it was an ongoing thing, was nothing new, and that it was mutual on both sides, this type of language and texting back and forth and talking to each other back and forth. Well, one of the things I never, ever use is that dreaded word, that the N-word. I never use that. Never, ever use that. And I cringe when somebody of my race uses it. And quite naturally, it's off limits to anybody who's not of an African-American descent. And for that to take place repeatedly and be acceptable is incomprehensible to me. I'm going to go to Jeff first. About Incognito, I'm pretty sure you probably watched the interview or saw parts of it somewhere, and then I'm going to go to Black. Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, the story's getting old, but it's not going away because it crossed over into the sports story. I mean, he could pull it together for a few minutes for that apple. And, he made a mistake, and you know what? You know, years ago with Kerry Collins, he found out it's not acceptable.
Right.
You know where I'm going with this.
Sure.
Even if you're buddies, it's really not acceptable for a white person to use that term. And, Incognito, he's full of it because he doesn't want his NFL career to end. He wants to keep playing. And he's got a record. Not much of a criminal record, but he's a track record of being a lousy person. And his career might be done. And, you know, it's a lot to say goodbye to. It's not the way he wanted to go out. But I think Martin is probably looking at a lawsuit. It helps him that both his parents are lawyers. I think the only team I could see him joining is the Colts, because his college coach is there and he's got friends there. Because unfortunately, for being a whistleblower or whatever, and even worse, walking out on his team, a lot of guys aren't going to like him.
Right, right. You're all right, Jeff? You kind of breathing hard there. I'm trying to. You're all right?
Yeah. I just had to run up to my apartment. I'm good.
Okay. All right, Black, talk to me.
Oh, man, these guys, I don't even have 1,000 texts between any of you guys. So I know these guys are real tight. I see pictures with them together. I still don't understand this. I don't know Martin Snap or what's going on, but I don't believe you heard the full story. We're getting bits and pieces of this, bits and pieces of that, though. The story is still crazy. I still don't understand.
Well, supposedly in the next few days, within the next week, I think Martin's supposed to speak to the independent investigator. He's also supposed to speak to the owner next week after he speaks to the independent investigator. I know, just like Incognito went to talk to Jay Glazer, the media is trying to push, I guess, to find out when Martin is going to do the same thing. Not that he's obligated to do it, but you know how the media is. They got to get both stories out in front of the camera. If they don't get both characters or both people out in front of the camera, then they're going to surmise one's hiding something versus the other who came out in front of the camera. So I would say Martin's probably going to get pressured by public opinion to come out and talk to somebody in the camera, in front of the camera, Jay Glazer, whoever. To me, it really doesn't make a difference whether he comes out in front of the camera or not. This whole mess just needs to get straightened out and get to the bottom of it. You know that where I'm going is with this. All right, we got these two guys. The locker room decorum, or whatever you want to say, the locker room language and the way things are handled, done in the locker room, are coming out to light, more of a light than most people would want to think about, because I'm pretty sure people who follow football or who have played football know that the locker room is not excuse the term, it's not Lily White. It's not going to be the most perfect place to be in or to hear any type of language, because you're going to hear everything in the locker room. This guys, athletes, got a lot of testosterone being pumped around. A lot of guys to get together in a mass. They talk a whole bunch of smack to each other, and everything flies, and nothing pretty much. Supposedly, nothing is sacred in the locker room, but it's all coming out to light. And where I'm going with this is, since the NFL's gotten involved in this and doing an investigation, and this bullying is taking a new level or whatever, I can see that the things that took place or had taken place in the locker room, certain language and certain way of doing things, certain things they did to rookies and things like that, hazing or whatever you want to call it, is going to take a new turn. It's probably going to be rules pushed out to curb it or eliminate it altogether. What's your thoughts on those type of things? I'll go to Black and then Jeff first.
Yeah, they're taking the stands and everything. I just see what the I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit. You probably will touch on this later, but so what happened last night in the Clippers game with Matt Barnes. You know, they're going to put a clamp on everything now. Everything's going to be microscopically looked into. But I'm still trying to wrap my head around the situation. situation. I got to hear from Martin. I got to hear what Martin has to say. I want to see what his mindset was. You can't be tight with a guy and have that many text messages and things. Like something absolutely went wrong or he was just setting them up before. But they're going to put a clamp on all that locking and stuff. That's the doubt.
Jeff.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, it come down to, you know, it's the veteran guys pretty much run the locker room. And, you know, I mean, you know, no situations, guys are guys, you know. But, you know, I heard, and this is probably the exception, when some of Reggie White's former teammates in Philly said he didn't even like other guys cursing in the locker room.
I can believe that.
Hard to imagine, you know. I'm telling you, I can see now they might have some rules up in the locker room, but now, you know, I'm telling you, I can see rules up. You know, no racial slurs, you know.
Right.
And then, of course, certain things, and I've heard this could be a problem in a locker room, no gambling, you know, because a lot of these guys, you know, they play cards or they shoot dice, but then it gets carried away, and then when one guy owes a few grand to another guy, you can get ugly.
Right.
And I could just see a whole new set of rules posted on locker rooms. And, you know, I guess this is something the NFL is going to have to drag themselves into the 21st century on. And this was just a team that did not have good veteran leadership. They put the wrong guy in a position of leadership. Usually the coaches, I don't want to use the word snitch, but they got guys who let them know what's going on in the locker room, you know.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
besides the veteran leaders, there's trainers, there's equipment guys, there's assistant coaches, and it just seemed that the whole Miami situation was very dysfunctional. And like with most things, it comes down to the details, and there's still a lot of details that need to be told. Like one of the things that people got upset about was that supposedly Martin paid $15,000 for a Vegas trip he didn't go on. Now, that sounds like a shakedown, but maybe he was going to go, and then he canceled. That's an important detail. So
right.
A lot of details still need to be told. This is a story. It's not going away. It's kind of like last year, the story like that was Nancy Teau. But this is uglier because this is, you know, bullying potentially and extortion. That was just a bad Internet hoax.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know that one of the things that was said that, and I'm not harping on this, but this is the final thing I'm going to say. I wanted to say and come to the conclusion is that one of the things that he did before he left the team, not before, but one of the steps he had taken, he went to the general manager, which was Jeff Ireland, and said that supposedly said what was going on, and Jeff Ireland had told him supposedly he should punch Richie Cognito in the mouth. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that the owner is a pretty much a no hands-on type of guy, and supposedly, well, I said supposedly, he's come out and said that he's appalled at this, and he wants to get to the bottom of this. And my thing is this: Jeff Ireland, he did some trading on draft day and traded up to get his number one pick, who hasn't played that well and played very sparingly and probably won't play that much for the rest of the season. And he made a lot of big acquisitions, mainly Mike Wallace for one and some other ones. Besides Jeff Ireland, Philbin, who's the coach, is directly responsible for these players. Do both of these guys go, or does one of them go? Or just give me your thoughts on what guy is going to be able to hang on to his job past this season, and what guy or guys or both of them are going to be tossed after this year. I'll go to Black and then to Jeff.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I have to see how everything unfolds first. I don't want to put guys out of a job that don't need to. Only person I would do that to is the coach of the Wizards, Randy Whitman. I definitely want to see the way the facts come out or the distance. I don't want to put those guys on the spot just yet.
Okay. How about the, you, Jeff? What are your thoughts?
You know, the Miami owner spoke, and he defended his coach, but he didn't defend his GM. So,
right.
I think Ireland might be the odd man out. Because, unfortunately, usually something like this happens, whether it's the right guy or not, somebody's got to walk. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, that they got to have the scapegoat. And who knows, and maybe there'll be some other changes. But if I, it, just based on the fact of what the owner said, I think Ireland might get the boot.
Well, and I heard what he said, too, and I agree with you. But I'm going to give you this. The direct person that deals with these players day in and day out and is supposed to know what it, his players are all about for the most part is the head coach. He's got some type of leadership council. He's got players that I'm pretty sure he's got an open-door policy. And supposedly, well, let me put it this way. He had no idea what was going on. And to me, I find that hard to believe. For one, the head coach not knowing what's going on with these players or, you know, getting an idea that, you know, or let me put it this way. If Martin didn't feel comfortable going to his head coach, that's a problem. He went to the GM. He never went to the head coach. That's a problem. And that's a lack of trust in the head coach. Unless the head coach put the player that's in question, meaning incognito, on the mission, for lack of a better word, to get Martin toughen up or supposedly get toughen up or do something to make him a little meaner than what he is. And so I'm just surmising here. I'm just speculating that he never went to the head coach, but he went to the GM. And he just jumped the chain of command. He never mind the offensive coordinator, never mind his line coach. He went directly to the GM with no other coaches involved. That's a lack of trust, for one, with the coaches if he goes just to the GM. You guys disagree or agree with that? Anyone?
You know, I don't know. I tell you, I almost wish I could have been a friend of Jonathan Martin and and advised him to handle this in-house, you know. If he was that afraid of incognito and there wasn't, you know, he couldn't sit down with another player or an assistant coach, a trainer, assistant, even coach or GM, you're still keeping it in-house. And the worst thing he did was, you, as a football player, you don't walk away from the team. You know, this isn't a job. You can't give 2 weeks' notice and just walk the F out. It's just not that kind of gig. And, you know, they get paid accordingly, you know. And that was the one thing he did wrong, you know. You know, it's kind of stupid. You know, I almost said punch him in the face. Ditka said punch him in the face. Well, you know, that's not the greatest advice, and you know, this incognito sounds like a psycho, you know. But all he had to do was, you know, maybe just pull him aside and say, "Hey, Richie, you know, knock it off with some of that." You know, I mean, who knows? But for some reason, he didn't think he could. You know, he's getting Martin's getting portrayed in the media in a bad way. And you know who I think was very insightful, and I was surprised that I didn't think, I don't know, I was very surprised. It was Bart Scott, and he was saying, you know, some players look down on Martin because, you know, he comes from money, and he says, hey, a lot of us players, our kids come from money, you know, we don't want our kids getting pushed around. And he said, and, you know, Martin is mixed race, and he says, hey, some of us players, we got kids who are mixed race, we don't want them getting insulted. I was like, you know, that guy was right on the money, you know. Absolutely, right on the money. And but I think, you know, which is one of these situations, somebody just let it build up and build up, and then boom, You know, I mean, it could have been worse. I mean, he didn't pop a cap,
right.
But he walked off the team, which is almost as bad.
Right. Black.
I don't want to speak on this anymore. I got to hear Martin's side, man. I got to hear what he's talking about, what he's feeling, what was his mind state during all of this.
No problem. Well, we're talking about two offensive linemen, the left tackle and the left guard. I want to step back a little further for the guy that they were supposed to be protecting, meaning quarterbacks. I got an article here that says NFL will look at making quarterbacks safer. And I'm going to read some of it, and I'm going to see what you guys think of it. Thanks to a broken collarbone on a run-of-the-mill sack, Green Bay Packers are without Aaron Rodgers. Their rivals in the NFC North, the Chicago Bears, are without Jay Cutler, thanks to a bum leg, which also wasn't the result of some sort of illegal hit. Game after game, NFL quarterbacks get sacked, get hurt, and miss starts. Of the 15 games on this week's schedule, 9, 60% feature at least one team that has been forced to change its quarterback because of injury this season. One of the two teams was a bye. St. Louis lost its number one guy, 2010 top overall draft pick, Sam Bradford, for the season. Bradford, who tore a ligament in his left knee last month, is one of 9 quarterbacks on injury reserve in 2013, the second most through 10 weeks in any of the past 15 seasons, according to stats. Amid those regular reminders of the dangers facing players at the sports marquee position, the league's competition committee will take a look this offseason at whether to expand rules that protect the quarterback, NFL Vice President of Officiating Dean Blandino said Thursday. This is a quote from Blandino. Should he always get protection from low hits or head hits, regardless of the posture he's presenting? Part of the conversation will be, should that protection be expanded to all times when the quarterback has the ball in the pocket? The committee will review position-by-position injury data and go over video from games, a regular process between the seasons. Currently, the quarterback is as protected now as he's ever been, but I think that's been the case for 8 or 9 years. A year ago, only one quarterback had gone on IR by this point in the season. 2012 was about as healthy as it gets for quarterbacks. 20 of 32 NFL teams started the same one in every game, the highest percentage for a full non-strike season since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. With nearly half of this season still to play, the number of teams able to rely on one starter at that key spot already is down to 20. If you don't have someone who can be productive at that position, you're not going to win many games. You need to keep your quarterback healthy because on most teams there is a huge drop-off from the starter to the backup. It's a watered-down position because there's not a lot of great guys after the top 15 or so. And that was a quote from the Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. So this offseason, it looks like they're going to look at to put more rules in place to protect the quarterback. And one of them is that they wanted to protect the quarterback at all times when the quarterback has the ball in the pocket. And I didn't notice that, but it's an interesting stat that the amount of quarterbacks that have been hurt this year compared to last year and compared to the last 15 seasons, which is crazy. Your thoughts, Jeff, and then Black.
You know, they've already done a lot of significant things to protect the quarterback. And, you know, and it wasn't that long ago. I remember Eli Manning's rookie year, the Giants' offensive line was struggling, and they were beating a poop out of Eli, which they had previously beaten a poop out of Kurt Warner. And you know what the Giants did, which some teams don't do? They started keeping in the running back and the tight end to block, which, you know, it was Tiki and Jeremy Shockey was two of their best weapons, but they had to keep Eli alive. And some coordinators won't do that. They just think they can drop back to pass 40, 50 times a game, and you're not going to have your quarterback take a lot of hits. And it's just, it's not that kind of sport. And running the ball and getting rid of it quick, not holding on to it for a long time, that keeps quarterbacks healthy, but they don't want to do that, you know? I don't know, that's my gut instinct, and I'm not superstitious, but I don't know. Rodgers grows a mustache, next thing you know, boom, he's out for like 4 weeks. I don't know what he was thinking. He looked like a porno star with that thing.
Black, what do you think,
my
man?
I thought we had the Tom Brady rules. Now we need more rules for the quarterback. Can't hit guys hard. You can't hit guys low. What would we be watching in the future on Sunday?
Hey, what can I tell you, Black? I mean, the quarterback, both you guys know, is the marquee player. It's a passing league, and in order to get good passers, you got to keep the starting quarterbacks in the game. If they can protect the quarterback in any way more than they have, that means they're going to have more explosive plays downfield, and it's all about the bottom dollar for the nonprofit organization. So
I think I'm going to start watching lingerie football. So they can play kids all day, and there's no Tom Brady rule in the LFL.
Hey, what can I tell you? It's coming to that. It's coming to that. Okay, speaking of taking hits, I got another one here. I don't know if you guys saw recently a Hall of Famer from the Dallas Cowboys was on TV and saying that he had tested positive for signs of CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, whatever it is. Supposedly, researchers who say they can determine whether a living person has this, supposedly it was first assumed that in order for this to be diagnosed, it had to be the person had to be deceased so they could actually look at the brain and be able to analyze that. Well, supposedly, they can. It's researchers who say they can determine whether a living person has this CTE, and said they have been inundated with inquiries from former college and professional football players about possibly undergoing testing. Tony Dorsett, Joe Dilemelier, I think he was from the Buffalo Bills, if I'm not mistaken, and Leonard Marshall recently received a diagnosis that they have signs of CTE. And that's quite nasty. For those who don't know, it's a hold on a minute here. I got Victor here. It's a degenerative brain disease linked to depression, dementia, and attributed by some scientists to head trauma. So they supposedly have a way of being able to diagnose this through living players, and 9 former NFL players have been tested at UCLA thus far. All 9 were diagnosed with signs of CTE. About a dozen former athletes, of whom all but 3 in the NFL, are being considered for the next group, about 5 to be tested. As early as a month from now. So they've come up with a way, supposedly, to be able to diagnose this without having to do it after a person is deceased. This is going to open up another can of worms, and I don't know what's going to lead to, another thing. Supposedly, if I'm not mistaken, Junior Seau or what's the guy from Chicago that he committed suicide?
Stewart.
Yeah, supposedly had the same problem. after they were deceased, they were found to have the same type of CTE. Apparently, this is something that's probably going to grow in the amount of people that are going to be diagnosed with this. And my thought is this: if this is going to open up another can of worms, I would have to think that the NFL had gotten wind of this and was ready to make a settlement real quick, like they did for the amount that they did, because
in reality now is peanuts. The players should have got $2-3 billion out of that settlement. There's a lot.
What's
more
that now?
I said the players should have got $2-3 billion out of that settlement. There's a lot more of these cases are going to pop up.
Oh yeah, I can believe that, Black. I definitely can believe that. What the heck happened here? Hold on a minute here, guys. My computer is going wacky here, and I'm trying to get it back together. All right, I'll put that up here. Come on, come on. Oh, my God. I'm trying to get Victor back on here, too, because Victor was trying to get in. And hang on, Victor. I'm going to get you in here. Just give me a minute here. My page crashed and I had to reopen it. Here we go. Hello, Mr. FSP, Victor Gardner. How are you today?
I'm fine. I was about to take over the board for you. I was about to do it for you.
No, I'm all right. I'm all right now. My Firefox for some reason crashed and I had to bring it back. What's up? Did you hear what we were talking about?
Yeah, I heard it. And, Mr. Dorsett, he showed signs of that illness or the brain damage. I think it was reported maybe a day or so after he did an interview with NFL Morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that. I saw the interview, and he looked shaky on that interview.
Yeah, because he was endorsing Hampton Inns at the time, and
right.
The next day the story comes out that he's, he has the onset symptoms of dementia or this brain injury. And fellas, I hate to say it, I really hate to say it, but Black is right, because the older players settled. That case is closed. However, if there's not a clause in there that current or recently retired players can sue or will be able to sue, that might be a different story. Because I know the older generation, the Jack Ham generation, the Mike Ditka generation, that's the group that really got paid. Some of the older ones, like the guys in Herm Edwards' era, yeah, but Dorsett came a little bit after that. So I don't know if he's a part of that group or not. I wanted to say a couple things, and I'm going to turn the show back over to you. I want to welcome and thank the people from Liechtenstein for listening to us on Spot On Radio, Russia, Poland, Germany, South Africa, and all the other places that are listening to us. Thank you. And our sponsor, Fantasy Sports Book and Casino .com will be up and running by December 1st.
Oh, boy. Well, I just hope there's enough funds to pay off when I start collecting.
Whatever. Matter of fact, Black, this is your assignment, bro. And you can get commission off of it. There are some colleges in that area. I think we need to have a blitz at a bunch of those colleges. That's all I think. That's what I think.
Okay.
I got to show them the finished product first.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be there.
So you're trying to hit the young and dumb, huh? Is that what you're telling me?
I did not say that.
No, you didn't say that. I was just kidding.
There's a lot of college there's a lot of college pride, especially right now during football and definitely during March Madness. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right, let me move on to something else I wanted to talk about here. Hold on a minute here. It's about the why, oh, why?
Do you need me to jump on?
No. I'm all right. Ed Reed went from my Houston Texans to the Jets.
To my Jets.
How about that? to my old team, I should say. Now, he was benched more than once from a 2-7 team. I know he went to Rex Ryan because that's his old defensive coordinator, and it's a scheme that he's very familiar with. I'm going to go to you, Victor, then Jeff, and then Black, on what you think, what kind of contribution outside of his knowledge of the game, I'm talking his physical contribution, do you think he can give to this team that's 5-4 and trying to make a spot for themselves going forward to get into playoffs?
Are you serious? Two things.
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
Oh, I got you. Two things. Fear. Fear being the biggest one. He knows Tom Brady. He's got a young quarterback in Tannehill, young quarterback in E.J. Manuel, and he's got Geno on his side. So the fact that those quarterbacks have knowledge of what Ed Reed could do and can do, give him the opportunity, just his presence on the field says, okay, well, maybe I might not throw to this side, or maybe I got to look off to get, you know, the ball off. Miami already gets they have highest sack rate per game, so just having him back there gives them edge over Miami. Buffalo does not have a healthy receiver right now, so he can play center field and the corners can cover the daggone receivers, and he can just put fear there. Only non-threat would probably be Tom Brady, because Tom knows him a lot and said, well, he's not the same as Ed Reed. But to the rest of the NFL, that helps those corners, because the quarterback is going to want to know where Ed Reed is, bottom line. Where is Ed Reed?
On the football field, my teammates, and how long is my coach?
So that's what I think.
Jeff.
And through Chris Johnson, he's killing me. Chris Johnson's killing me. Two touchdowns already.
Is that right?
For me. Sorry to
that's
hear
good
that,
for me, too. That's good for me, too.
All right. CJ2K all the way. Thank you. Reed, he can make some impact on that Jets defense. And the Jets have been doing it pretty good on defense without a lot of big-name guys. I think he could make some impact. And one of the pluses for Reed is he gets to play Baltimore again because they're on the Jets schedule. So interesting pickup for the Jets.
Black.
He has a truck stick waiting to happen. He's a whistle man. He's done. I don't know why they picked him up. Clear waivers for a reason, fella.
That's true.
His salary. They clear waivers because of his salary.
Yeah, you don't pay a whistle man.
Well, I'm gonna come on in another article I saw that happens to hit, and it's just by coincidence. It's not just by coincidence that it happens to be Victor's team, and his offensive coordinator said that RG3 can be like Peyton. He has the capable of having qualities like Peyton Manning. He can be a great passer. He's already a good thrower. You know, I don't know what, you know, I'm at a loss for words here when I seen this article on, read this article on ESPN, saying that he was comparing RG3 to Peyton Manning. I'm going to go to
who
wrote this?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who wrote it. John Keim. John Keim, K-E-I-M, from ESPN.com, dated today.
Oh, okay. I'll make sure they say his article from now on.
Yes, saying that, and I'm reading a quote here. He saying he's capable of having qualities like Peyton Manning. He can be great passer and already is a good thrower. And that's a quote from Kyle Shanahan. Jeff. What do you think? What do you think about that quote? And then I'm going to go to Black, and I'm going to save Victor for last.
That's a bold statement. And, you know, RG3, he's got a little ways to go. I mean, he's a great talent, but he's just starting to look like himself again after the surgery. I mean, that first month of the season, it was painful watching that guy play. So he's got a ways to go. I mean, he's very talented. He's got a good head on his shoulders, but you know, he's got some work to do.
Black.
I will stop reading that man's column. I started this column anytime I check what he has here. I don't know what he's smoking, but that's some good stuff there.
And Victor, what do you think about Kyle Shanahan's bold statement?
Well, two things. It's always two things with me. I think Kyle Shanahan needs to give RG3 an offense that he can look like Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning is a cerebral quarterback. Secondly, I think that RG3 has the ability to be better than Peyton if he can develop his short passing game and he can develop a rapport with his tight end. Peyton Manning had a rapport with his slot receivers and his tight end, and then it became Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, and those guys. He worked inside out. Right now, RG3 works outside in, and it's all a part of the mental aspect of the game. He doesn't look off his safeties or anything like that. He goes 1-2, okay, they're not open. Now I'm going to run around a little bit. So I think he needs to develop a offense outside of the pistol, which they're very good at, and it's still a great system. But if you're going to compare him to Peyton Manning, put him in a system like Peyton Manning and then do the comparison after a couple of years. Until then, that's like blasphemy. Keep his name out of his mouth. The comparison is not there. And I am a Redskins fan.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy says that right now, so I don't know what this guy's writing and what young Kyle is thinking about.
Well, we got about 90 seconds left in the show. I want to thank all you guys for participating in the show. It's always been a pleasure talking to you guys. Tune in next week, same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the FSP Crew Show. We also have a show on Friday with No Chaser, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, I'll be the co-host, Jeff. Mac Williams will be the host. On Saturday, I will be there on FSP Show, which is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday afternoon with the host, Victor Gardner. On Sundays, the master plan. We're going to be talking about fantasy football, some sneaky picks, and the trade deadline is about less than a week away. I'm going to be talking about players that you should target or try to get before the trade deadline, and hopefully it'll help you if you're close enough or possibility enough. Some people I know are not, Victor, to get into the playoffs.
For real?
Let's talk about that trade. Well, okay, you want to talk about that trade? You want to talk about that trade? Okay. And then let me finish this first. And then on Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Monday, fascinating show, always with fascinating guests. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley, and the co-host would be Victor Gardner. Great show, big change of pace from the other four shows that we have. Very enjoyable. You should tune into that show each and every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are into overtime, and we're going to talk about one more thing before we go into overtime, because Mr. Gardner happened to mention it, and I'm going to mention it myself, okay? Victor and I are in a league together on ESPN, and I proposed a trade to him a couple days ago.
What?
Well, yesterday to be exact, that I would give him Giovanni Bernard. Wait a minute, I'll say this. I originally said I would give, because the reason I'm going to say this, because I'm it'll set up for what took place after it. I originally offered him Darren Sproles and Josh Gordon for Calvin Johnson. The response I got back from Mr. Gardner was, I'm really not partial to Darren Sproles. I would rather have Giovanni Bernard because he does a little bit more than Darren Sproles. I said, okay, fine. I rescinded that offer and gave him a new offer, Giovanni Bernard and Josh Gordon for Calvin Johnson. Victor responds to me that I'm giving him what he wants, but he responds to me that as long as these guys are healthy through this weekend, I'll do the deal after this weekend.
No, not exactly.
Why?
Not exactly after this weekend.
Why?
You know,
I don't know. I mean, I'm giving him. I'm giving him what he wants,
oh,
and then he flips it on me again. Come on, come
no,
on, Victor.
Jerry. I want you to understand something. It's
Go ahead.
Not after this. It's after next week, actually.
Oh,
because
wow.
Oh,
the
wow.
Reason.
Wow. That's
what?
Right.
Hey, guys,
after week 12.
Guys,
after week 12.
When's the trade
after
deadline? When's the trade deadline? Because that's coming
well,
up in a lot
deadline,
of leagues.
It's going to happen, but the problem is this. If I get Giovanni, or when I get Giovanni, he's on bye week. And
yeah,
right
but
now.
Victor, the trade deadline is November 20th, which is Wednesday.
I know, and we're going to work something out. We'll work something out.
How
but
we going
to?
I'm listening.
No, don't worry. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But
here's
the problem. Here's the problem. I have, if I do the deal, that means I have my two backup backs, which would be Giovanni and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, on the bench on a bye week when I have C.J. Spiller on a bye week. So
hey,
what I
Victor,
need to do is why
the trade deadline is the 20th.
I know that.
Well, pal, you didn't because you said I'll do it after week 12, which is the 20 whatever it is. It's after the trade deadline. So we couldn't consummate the trade anyway.
Well, the trade will happen. It will happen. Don't worry.
You know,
Vic,
that's
happen.
Why I don't like trading with you, because you change up
what?
So many times. You change up so many times.
I give you what you want,
and then you said, "Well, no, I don't want to do it now. I'll do it a week later." Come on.
Well, listen. Let's hear what Black and Jeff have to say about the deal.
Sure.
And, you know, listen, I'm just trying to protect myself during the bye week. That's all.
During the bye week. You should have never made the trade, which you haven't.
Oh.
But I don't think you will, because you're acting very Ernie Grunfeld-like right now. You want these guys, you got to understand that bye weeks happen. If you want these guys, you got to make the trade. It's not his fault that y'all were running backs on the on bye week at the same time.
Thank you.
That was your decision to pull a draft.
Black, that's not the question. The question is, would you make the trade? That's the question. Would you make the trade?
That can't be the question, because that's not the issue here.
What for me it is.
You just told us on your issue. The guy you're trading with is telling you that the trade deadline is Wednesday. So what are you waiting on?
Don't worry about that part. What I'm asking you is,
why aren't you pulling the trigger? Is what I'm asking you.
Oh, I got till Wednesday.
The manager
told
me that he gave you everything that you're asking for, and now there's another contingency for the trade.
Black, again, that's not the issue. I already know it is.
Yes, it is the issue.
It's semantics. It's semantics because Wednesday, I got till Wednesday. So my question is, and I'm asking you and Jeff, would you make the trade, period?
You know what?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Excuse me. You know, I pay close attention to the bye weeks when I'm making a trade. And just unfortunately, you know, it just so happens that Bernard has that week 12 bye, which if it was early in the season, it wouldn't be a big deal. But because it's at the end of the season, it is a big deal. So maybe you should have just said no deal instead of jerking around. And
thank you.
You know, you ever see that movie Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome? And you know what they say? Break a deal, spin the wheel. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, listen.
Victor, you're wrong. You are wrong.
No, what's
you
happening?
Are so wrong.
Okay.
You are so
wrong.
Jerry. Yes.
You've asked
the
question. Now my question to them is, you elicited your response. My question is, Jeff and Black, given the players involved, if you had Megatron, would you trade for Gordon and Sproles or Gordon or Giovanni? Or would you not trade at all?
Now, also, I'm really paranoid, if you haven't noticed. Calvin Johnson missed practice Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, he'll probably practice tomorrow. But, you know, that kind of makes me nervous about him, you know. If he practices Friday, then, you know, most likely he's good to go because this is a guy who's willing to play hurt. But will it be able to have a Megatron type game, you know?
Me, if I had Megatron, I'm not trading him. That's receiving the league.
I'll tell you, in one of my leagues, I'm going crazy because I've been trying to deal Philip Rivers all year to teams that had lousy starting quarterbacks. I'm trying to deal Rivers because he's my backup, Breeze is my starter. You know, I feel like a pimp trying to talk up Rivers, how good he's been playing, and I can't make a deal, you know. I'm like, yo, check this out. This is my man Phil. You know, no, I can't get a sniff. I can't get a backup receiver for Rivers, and now the trading deadline's approaching, and all these other guys are making these horrible deals. I had to reject a couple. And now I'm like, what do I got to do? I need so much effort. What do I got to do to make a trade? And these guys are making trades like superstar for Larry Moe and Curly. These deals don't make any sense. And I hate doing it, but I had to vote against some of those trades. They were that bad.
Right. Well, Victor, all you had to do, if you didn't want to make the trade, all you had to do was reject it, not do what you did and said, I'll do it after the last bye week.
Jerry,
come on. What?
Jerry, I'm going to do the deal. I told you. I gave you my word. I'm going to do the deal. However, I will have to wait until the week is over. I'll do the deal. You know what? You know, I'll do it now because the week has already started.
Thank you.
I don't want to pressure you into something that you think you don't want to do. I'm just saying that if you're gonna say you're gonna do a deal, do the deal, or say I changed my mind, I don't want to do it, or whatever. Just don't say I'll wait until the following week to do the deal when the trade deadline. It says right on the front page of every ESPN is on the 20th.
Mr. Taylor, it is okay. I'm not. I am not going to the leaguer, the issue. But all I want to say is this. You can't push Mr. FSP into a corner.
I'm not trying to push you. Yeah, okay, Victor.
I know you want Megatron. I know you do. I'm going to accommodate you. You're the only one. I'm being honest here. You're the only one that gave me a legitimate offer for Megatron or Reggie Bush. And I respect that. I respect that.
Okay.
But
right now I've got to look at your team to see what happens if you get Megatron. So that's my next line of thinking.
If you get Megatron,
that means you have Jamal Charles, Dez Bryant, Megatron. That's not looking good for me or anybody else in the league. So Jamal Charles, Megatron, and Dez Bryant, that might be too much power for one man.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
And then you got Cobb, who's coming off of the IR in a week or two. So I'll tell you what you do. I tell you what you do for him.
Okay.
We'll make the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to throw in Cobb. I'll give you Marvin from Cincinnati, and the deal is done.
Marvin Jones?
Yes, from Cincinnati, and we got a deal.
To get complicated by the second hour.
How about Terrence? No, I don't want Terrence. You know what? I don't care. Yeah, no problem. I'll do that.
All right, send it.
No problem. I will send it. And with that being said, I'm going to go around the horn to Black, Jeff, Victor, and then myself to close the show out. Your closing comments, guys.
I believe in all my days of fantasy football, I haven't made one trade. And what you heard just now, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason why.
What do you mean? What did you mean?
I've made trades, but I haven't made any this year, you know, because if it's not there, it's not there, and I'm not going to make a deal just for the sake of making a deal. And I wanted to add that earlier this week, Todd Christensen passed away. He was one of the best receiving tight ends in the 80s for the Raiders, and not everybody knows he was originally drafted by Dallas and cut by the New York Giants.
Yes.
Before becoming a star in Oakland, he had been a pass-catching receiver at Brigham Young, and it was the Raiders who had the vision to move him to tight end, and it's a shame. So he was having a liver transplant. I don't want to start a rumor, but I wonder if that was steroids-related, because he did bulk up a lot after college, but, you know, and that's one of the dangers of steroids and a lot of other things is you can damage your liver.
One of the greatest Tecmo Bowl receivers ever, Todd Christensen.
Yo, is that right?
You had Tecmo Bowl back in the day, Todd Christensen, with money.
Okay. All right, Victor?
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. What you heard about 5 minutes ago was a deal between two legends of this game.
Oh, here we go.
One. What is your problem?
Go right ahead, man. Go right ahead.
One being an older gentleman who has a very good chance of making the playoffs and winning his division. The other, a young, strapping lad, a stallion, if you want to put it that way, that has the know-how and the ability to spin the wheel and make the deal. And ultimately go back to the championship. I lost last year in the championship, But with this trade, I will be going back to the championship. HTTR. HTTR. Hail to the Redskins. I'm done.
With that being said, I want to thank Victor. I want to thank Jeff, and I also want to thank Black for joining me tonight. We definitely had a good conversation on a variety of subjects relating college football and mostly NFL, and then ending up with a fantasy trade that I already pushed to Victor. Hopefully he doesn't change his mind like he's akin to do.
It'll change. It'll change.
He's going to smack me around like that.
It's up and ready for you. So you all you have to do is press accept. With that being said, tune in next week. Like I said before we went on in overtime, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, FSP Crew Show will be in effect as always. Myself, Black, and Jeff, and we'll be carrying the conversation with a variety of subjects. And with that being said, enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the Sunday games. There's a great lineup of shows. Lineup of games tonight. Not tonight, but over the weekend, including Monday night. With that, we're out.
Come on, yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.